Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Spookiest thing in the world just happened, right? So during the break, I decided to go to the bathroom. Just for a quick one, you know. No, not that. Anyway, so outside the bathroom, there's two switches. One for the light and one for the fan. So I had a habit. I always just switch on both. I'm going in, do me business. The fan is on for about 20 seconds. I'm standing there, and next minute the fan went off. I went, oh, maybe there's a timer on it or something that I didn't switch it on. And I heard the click. I went outside, and the switch was off for the fan that I had just switched on. There's no one there. You know what I mean? There's only me. There was nobody else there. It's kind of the weirdest thing. I might have said to AJ, and she's terrified now. Terrified. She thinks there's a ghost in the building. Hey. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. You must do that some night. Weird things that happened, AJ. You know, they're unexplained. Scare the living daylights out of the listeners. You know what I mean? Anyway, next up I want to talk about climate change. Now, of course, you know I am not a big promoter of climate change. I'm sure you're all well aware of that. So this is not an hour of me promoting climate change. There's nobody paying me anything, because I remember the last time this was just, somebody is paying you to talk about that and force it upon us. It's like a narrative, Noel. Leave that to RTE. Anyway, no, I am not being paid to do it. But over the weekend, the Irish Independent reported that hairdressers and barbers are being trained to chat with customers about climate change. So the state are paying your tax money to hairdressers, that's what they're going to be doing, to talk to their customers about climate change. Now, you know, normally the hairdresser will turn around and go, oh yeah, lovely day today, isn't it? Where are you going your holidays this year? Going anywhere nice? Going out of the weekend? You know, so the hairdresser would normally be talking about that kind of stuff. But now the hairdresser is going to be talking about, did you get solar panels on your roof lately? Thinking about an EV car? Maybe you should, save the planet. I just can't see the hairdresser talking about those things and being taken seriously. Gone are the days, you know, they'll be asked, as I said, are you going anywhere nice on your holidays? So it brings up a bigger question. Are we as individuals ready to invest our hard-earned cash to save the planet? I mean, going green isn't cheap. For instance, purchasing an electric vehicle is more expensive than a diesel or petrol generally. Unless you're buying a second-hand one, because the arse has fallen out of the market of the second-hand ones. You can pick up the second-hand ones fairly cheap, but people don't want them because the battery, you know, depending on how old they are, you know, might need to be replaced. And as well, not only that, you know, some dealers are reluctant to take them back again as a trade-in. We spoke to one on the air recently in relation to that. So the average price we see of an electric vehicle in Ireland in 2025 is around €58,000. Installing solar panels in your home can set you back between €6,000 and €18,000. Yes, it's an investment and you might save money in the long term, but it'll take you a long time to recoup your €18,000. And if you're considering a heat pump exchange or heat exchange to make your home more energy efficient, you're looking at somewhere between $12,500 to $23,500. Now, there are grants available, but you've got to stump up a lot of the cash yourself. So are you willing to make those kind of financial commitments to combat climate change? Have you already made investments? Or do you believe it's a load of nonsense, that it's not going to make an ounce of difference at, you know, how many people survive and live in this little planet of ours? I mean, let's be clear about it. We are going to become extinct at some point. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there are theories out there, you know, ancient civilizations, et cetera, that we've been extinct on many occasions already. Some people don't agree with those theories. And some people don't buy into the whole climate change thing. They do believe, of course, that the climate is changing. Of course it's changing. And we can see that worldwide. But they don't buy into the fact that human beings can actually, you know, somehow reverse that. Some people think that's nonsense. So I want to know what you think. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. Are you willing to spend your hard-earned cash changing the climate? Sean, hi, how are you?
Sean, hi, how are you?
How you doing, Sean? Sean, are you willing to spend your money? Put your money where your mouth is?
Definitely not. In the words of Eamon Dunphy, I think it's all a big cod, to be honest with you.
I know. Oh, yeah, I've heard Damon Dunphy talking about it a few times. Yeah.
Do you remember when he described Ronaldo as a cod? I found that was hilarious. And this whole, every decade, it seems to be something. Like in the 90s, I'm sure you remember.
The ozone layer. Yeah.
Like, where's that gone? I haven't heard about
that. Oh, what happened? The acid rain. Do you remember the acid rain?
I do indeed. Yeah, that was every, you know, decade or two, it's a scare tactic. Like, if I was comfortable off, you know, if I had plenty of money then, but I think for the ordinary man and woman, this whole climate change it's unfeasible in terms of finance. It's big money, I think.
Oh, it is. It is big money.
Like, if they, like, the government proved with the COVID, the way, you know, they could hand out 350 a week. If there was more provisions in place, more incentives, I'd say a lot more people would consider it. But at this moment, as you gave the example, Niall, the electric vehicle, they're hugely expensive. Like, I certainly couldn't go out tomorrow and invest in one, you know?
I would have a fear in investing in one because the technology is probably going to change in the next 3 or 4 years. The range will get bigger, the batteries will get smaller, it'll be easier to charge them, all that kind of carry on. So, you know, or maybe hydrogen cars will replace electric cars. I don't know. So I would be reluctant myself personally to buy an electric car. And by the way, it's just not practical for most people. If you live in an apartment, it's not practical. If you live in a terraced house, you know, it's not practical. It just isn't practical. For people who do long distances, it's not practical. They're just not practical cars, unless you just want it for collecting the kids from school.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like, a lot of these people that will be preaching about climate change, like high-up figures, they're the worst offenders. Like, with the air miles they do, the travelling.
Oh, yeah.
I heard
somebody on another radio station, I won't say who it is, promoting climate change big time and goes on and on and on about it constantly. And then somebody pulled him up that he was away on holidays for 2 weeks in Spain. And he said, oh, yeah, but I offset my carbon miles by paying for it. It's because you can voluntarily pay the airline for to offset your carbon miles. So I felt like texting into the radio station. I'd never done it before. And saying, so what? It's okay if you're rich then. You know, you can damage the planet once you're rich and you're willing to pay for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just a case of do as I say, not what as I do. It's a little bit authoritarian. I don't know if you'd agree with that. But
I do. And by the way, I don't want to suggest for a minute that we shouldn't be kind to the planet. Of course we should.
Yes.
You know, because I consider myself environmentally friendly. You know, put your stuff in the right bins, all that kind of stuff, recycle, all that kind of stuff. We should be good to the planet. It's the only one we have. So, you know, we should, and the population of the world obviously has grown to 8 billion people now. And, you know, it's grown, 6 billion people in the last 100 years. So we have to be careful how we manage things, you know, waste and everything else.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But when it comes to the actual climate, I mean, the world's climate has been changing ever since the planet existed. And we can see that throughout history. Can we make a difference as human beings as to how that climate changes and to make some significant difference, you know, that it will save us from extinction at some point? I genuinely don't believe so, but some people do believe it.
Yeah, but would you agree as well, Niall? It's out of the realm of most kind of working class people that the significant investment needed is just...
Yeah, I mean, look, Mary from Crumlin in our 50-year-old house is not going to spend 23 grand, you know, upgrading it to a heat pump system. She's not going to spend, you know, 18 grand on solar panels. And she's certainly not going to buy the latest EV either. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
It's not for everybody. It's not affordable for everybody.
And the whole fact that you're saying, you know what I mean, barbers, hairdressers, it's something slightly Big Brother-like about that kind of, you know, we'll bring you in, we'll give you the haircut, and we'll suggest maybe things you can do to help the planet. It's a bit like, it's a bit back, it's sneaky, you know?
Yeah, and I don't understand why they're doing this. Look, if anybody who doesn't know about the climate change theory at this point, you know, they obviously don't read the newspapers, they don't read anything on social media.
Yes.
You don't need your hairdresser to talk to you about it. I mean, I'm happy enough with the hairdresser just talking about where you're going on your holidays. That's good enough for me, you know what I mean?
Can I quickly, Niall, tell you a little funny story? I live in North Dublin, very North Dublin, and my accent, I'm a taxi driver here in Dublin. Every person, even Americans, you're not from Dublin. Every single person, you're not. The accent is a huge topic of conversation.
Like, yeah.
It's like I'm only from Mead, and it's like I'm from outer Mongolia. With the accent, you know, it's and I notice, especially in North Dublin, it's taken a lot more notice of, as opposed to people from South Dublin. They're mildly curious, but it's North Dublin straight away. Are you a guard? Are you undercover? Where's the accent from?
Yeah, because you don't sound like you have a very Dublin accent. And if you did, I would have said you were Southside.
I've been up in Dublin now, would you believe, 14 years. As I say to you, I'm in a very much North Dublin area, and I'm looked at, friendly, and people are nice, but there's always an element of, geez, he's not from here.
He doesn't fit in. Yeah. Okay, well, let's move back away from accents, back to climate again. Stay there, Sean. Morris, hi, how are you?
Yes.
Morris.
Niall, how are things, all right?
Good. Morris, now, I know everybody, you know, wants to do their bit, you know, to be good to the planet, to be good to the environment. And of course, climate change is the big thing at the moment, where many scientists around the world believe that if we change our habits, that, you know, we can prevent the world from doom. Do you buy into that? Are you willing to pay for it?
And it starts off in a barber shop.
Well, yeah, that's what they plan to do. Yeah, they plan to train hairdressers to chat to people about climate change.
Worldwide?
No, just Ireland.
Well, who come up with this idea? Put them in a fucking straitjacket. Fucking Jay. Listen, as they said in the old days, that's a harebrained idea, for fuck's sake. All they can talk about, oh, Jay, you never guess what happened to me yesterday. What? Yeah,
me boyfriend. I broke a nail.
I was rinsing this fella's hair and I broke me nail. And where are you from? I'm from Bleeding North County, Maine. Jesus Christ almighty. Lucas, if you want a bit of gossip, go to the fucking barbers. Who's doing what and who's doing this? So what I'd say to you is, you know, it'll tell you how fucking the level of insanity that, what's the best way to say them? I have an idea. Let's tell the barbers how to train the people that come in to get their hair cut what to do when they go home.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a fucking joke.
Okay, well, by the way, did you get solar panels on your roof? Are you willing to change your heating to a heat pump system?
No, I'm not getting the solar panels on my roof. I don't believe in that shite. I'm getting the I'm getting the wraparound. I'm like Mary of fucking Crumlin. I have a 30-year-old house.
Right.
And it was built badly and it was thrown up for profit. And I'm getting the wraparound. You know the wraparound you get the way they come in and insulate your house?
That's supposed to save a lot of money, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'm getting that done because my wife's a carer for my autistic son, and that's why I qualify for it. And I've paid into the system for over 45 years, so it's about time I got fucking something.
And do you have to pay something towards that, or do they give you a grant for the whole lot?
Oh, the grant for the whole lot, Jeff.
Oh, that's great.
Carer, you qualify
God,
for
that's
it. Yeah, well,
yeah.
I'm getting something back out of the system. I heard a very funny joke today, Niall. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, go on.
It was about this ship that was coming up through Dublin Bay, and foreign person jumped off and he jumped on the rocks at Holt, and he was rooting through the rocks at Holt, and he found a little lamp and he rubbed it and a fucking genie came out and he says, oh.
This is not going to be a racist joke, Morris, before you go any further, is it?
Oh no, it's not a racist joke. No, it's an odd sense of humour. Okay. Can you not tell a joke in your own country now?
No, but I'm just making
so anyway,
sure
he goes,
I have a duty and a responsibility
in. Yeah, same here. I wouldn't do it to the radio station anyway.
Well, he finds the lamp, the genie's lamp.
You do away with me monthly payment.
You wish.
I'm only kidding. Anyway, the person rubs the lamp anyway, and the genie comes out. And he goes, well, listen, you've released me. I'm 500 years trapped in that lamp. You've 3 wishes. What would you like? He said, Jesus, this is a lovely area. How about a 5-bedroom house over there with a car and all the food I can have delivered to the house every week for the rest of my life? Genie clicks his fingers, done. So he says, what's your second wish? He says, well, I'm not a greedy man, but how about £2,000 into my account every day for the rest of my life? Genie goes,
yeah, done.
Done. Click fingers. So he says, what's your third wish? He said, I'd love to become an Irish citizen. Are you serious? He says, yeah. Done. Everything disappears. He says, what happened? He says, you know, the Irish, once you're Irish, you get nothing.
All right. I'm sure there's a lot of people agree with you and some would disagree with you, Morris. But... oh, okay. Morris, so you don't kind of buy into the kind of climate change thing at all?
Listen, the planet was invented, it came about, and it will go back to the way it was. But I'll tell you one thing. The Native American people, the indigenous people, have said that Mother Earth has been poisoned, and as soon as she stops producing, once she's poisoned and the last tree dies, there's going to be nowhere and we're dead.
Well, Mother Earth has been poisoned many times in its 8 billion year history.
What we're left to believe.
I've watched numerous documentaries about ancient civilizations, you know, these theories on ancient civilizations where they were wiped out by ice ages and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's different theories out there that we're not the first. There were other civilizations before us.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, possibly.
And there will be after us. But man's greed will destroy this earth. And that's what's going on at the moment. And you can see it with the Orange Blossom special over in the White House.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think greed will destroy the world. You
100%.
Know? And power. Greed and power. Morris, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Thanks for the joke as well. Mark, how you doing?
How you doing, Noel? You good?
Good. Are you playing in the game? Are you happy enough to pay to save the planet?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I was talking about the accident thing. I was burning for that. But, you know, I'll join in with the climate thing. To be honest, I have a mother she's creeping up in her ages.
Yeah.
And she goes to the Mercy very often for skin damage. And, you know, something, the amount of people that I see there with skin damage is unbelievable.
Mm.
And I think the sun now is so much stronger.
Possible, yeah, yeah.
That the amount of people what will be there in the future years will be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, there is a significant rise in skin cancer, from what I'm aware.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, skin cancer was a huge problem many, many years ago because people many years ago didn't use Factor or whatever it was. And that's where we're seeing it now in older people, particularly who didn't protect their skin years ago. I think younger people are protecting it a little bit better, maybe, I hope. But in saying that, yes, the sun probably is stronger. But that's all part of the changing climate, isn't it?
Well, I guarantee the people that was around, like the people I've been treated to, people who are in the 80s, and 90s, I mean, they're being treated for it, but they never had sun like this in April.
Ah, I don't know about that, Mark. When I was a kid, we had great summers.
Oh, well, we had summers when summers were summer.
I mean, look at last year. We had no summer last year. Was it last year we had? It was last year, wasn't it? We had no summer at all. I think we had like a week.
Yeah, I understand that, Noel. I mean, you can go back to when we had the first COVID. We had summer in February.
Well, I don't think it was summer in February. Yes, the sun was, you know, just because the sun is in the sky and the sky is blue doesn't mean we have summer weather. Like today, for example, was a beautiful day. There was no clouds in the sky. The sun was out, but it was still only 14 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't like 26 or anything like that. You know what I mean? Let's put things into perspective here.
We had 20 degrees in Kanturk.
20 degrees. Yeah. Kanturk. Yeah. Well, Kanturk is always a bit warmer than everywhere else.
Costa del Kanturk, yeah.
Okay, so have you made any provisions for climate change? Have you changed anything in your house or have you bought an electric car or anything like that?
Well, no, not at all. I just put extra sun cream on.
Okay, so you're just protecting yourself, really. God bless you.
Well,
that's good advice, by the way, to give out on the air. Yeah, it's good advice. Protect yourself, use sun cream, particularly if you're going away to the Mediterranean.
Recycle better and just make things a little bit better.
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah, we all should be recycling. Very important that we recycle. It's very important we don't have dirty streets like we used to have back in the 1960s and 70s. All right, going to take a quick break. I'm going to come to Maureen and Kathleen. Pardon me, after the break. And the question we're asking you is, everybody's talking about, you know, climate. Well, not everybody, but some people are talking about climate change. And of course, there's no doubt that we're seeing a change in the world. And we are seeing a change in the world's climate. And over the weekend, the Irish Independent reported that hairdressers and barbers have been trained to chat with customers about climate change, which I think is daft. But I agree with Morris. It's daft. Completely daft notion, you know, to chat. Let's stick to the hairdressers talking about your holidays and where you were at the weekend. It's so much easier. Anyway, because I just can't imagine it. You know, a hairdresser cutting your hair. So did you buy a new electric car recently? You get much mileage out of it. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, but are you taking it seriously? Are you willing to pay to take it seriously? Because a lot of people out there, climate change. Oh, yeah, I support any action at all. Yeah, are you willing to pay? Are you willing to buy an electric car? Because they cost about, on average, €58,000. Are you willing to buy one? Are you willing to get your house converted to a, you know, heat pump or heat exchange, as they call it? Or are you willing to put solar panels on your roof? Are you willing to do all of those things in aid of climate change and cost your fortune? Are you willing to do those things? I don't know about that now. Are you willing to pay more for your flights? I don't know about that now. See, so a lot of people say they support it, but they're not willing to do anything about it. So are you willing to do something? Are you willing to pay? Anyway, Shouldn't have done that while I was alive in the air. Now I'm chewing. Let me get to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Maureen, look, they're all talking about climate change, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. Would you be willing to pay a few quid to have solar panels on your roof? And
not at all.
Would you not? Save you money. Saves money.
Not at all. Mm. No, I don't believe in climate change. I believe in natural climate change. Mm. I don't believe in this man-made climate change.
Do you not?
Because that's what it is.
Mm. A lot of scientists would disagree with you, obviously, but then some would agree with you as well.
Really?
Yeah, some would agree with you too.
According to scientist David Keith from Harvard University, I mean, have people looked up to the sky at all? No, people don't look up either.
No.
To see what's going on above in the sky with the spraying.
Oh, I know this, right? But there's a huge, by the way, I was only reading today, by the way, that I think it's RFK Jr. is now leading a full investigation into all of that, isn't he?
Yeah, that's chemtrails. It's called chemtrails.
Yeah, no,
they're not chemtrails from aircraft.
Yeah, no, here's
they're
the thing.
Chemtrails.
Well, I'm going to be straight with you, Maureen. I don't buy into that. But that's okay.
And I'll tell you why.
That's okay. You can buy into it.
David Keith. Well, I do, because we can see them, Niall.
No,
the
passenger
flies over and there's a contrail. The contrail disperses within seconds.
No, not necessarily. It depends on the atmosphere. It depends on the heat. There are a lot of, and I talked to a pilot about this recently. He's a friend of mine. He works for Aer Lingus. And I was talking to him about contrails and chemtrails and all this kind of thing. And he said, I asked him that very question. I said, how come sometimes they disappear quickly and sometimes they're there for hours? And he says, it depends on the temperature. It depends on the wind. It depends on the atmosphere. He said, there are so many different components as to how long it stays there.
Well, according to this scientist, a Harvard scientist, David Keith is his name,
mm-hmm.
and he says that we spray sulfuric acid into the stratosphere 20 kilometres above our head.
Now, if
Let me hold on a second.
You'd burn people if you were spraying sulfuric acid on top of them.
Into the atmosphere to stop warming up and to stop warming the sun. That's what they're doing. There's 20 tons of sulfuric acid into the stratosphere every year, and each year they have to put a little bit more.
Okay, I know in America, and they've admitted this, they do what they call cloud seeding. That's quite common.
Yes, but they're also blocking the sun.
Yeah, but that's particularly done because obviously farmers get destroyed if there's a drought and they wait for some clouds and they do this thing called cloud seeding where they spray something into the clouds to increase the possibility of rain. And that's nothing new, by the way. As far as I remember, the American Native Indians used to do the same thing.
But they're blocking. No, you're not getting it. These people are deliberately doing this.
Okay. They
are blocking the sun.
Let's not get hung up on one aspect of the whole thing. All right.
I am, because this is what's happening and there's a lot more happening.
Okay.
Maureen,
you have your opinion on it, and that's fine, and I accept that other people will have an alternate opinion.
In Belém, in Brazil, in November, where they're cutting down tens of thousands of trees because Belém is very hard to get to, and they're building a road. But all of a sudden, all before, they wanted to build up the Amazon rainforest. What are we seeing? Scotland is burning with fires. Parts of England are burning. It's burning here.
But hang on. The world, I was only reading an article the other day. The world has never been greener.
Sure saw that either.
And I know, I'm going to say there was an article written the other day, and it was an interesting piece, the paper, not in the paper, actually, it was online. And they basically said, you know, they kind of measure the amount of ice, the amount of greenery. The world has never been greener. So to suggest, by the way, that we don't have enough Greenlands, well, we do. We have more than enough. So the world has never been greener. It is very green at the moment. There are plenty of trees. There are plenty of, you know, foliage and hedges and everything else to absorb the CO2. But in saying that, obviously there are scientists who believe that we're emitting too much CO2 and that has an effect on the climate. You don't believe that, and that's fine too. But are you? Let's talk about the planet itself. Forget about the climate change just for the moment. Let's talk about just being kind to the planet, recycling, changing your habits. You know, I suppose when it comes to, you know, burning fuels and coals and all that kind of thing. Have you changed anything?
No, and I have no intention of it.
Mm.
And they call all the coal that we burn, all this is put under fossil fuels.
Fossil fuels,
so is oil. There's no such thing as fossil fuel. Fossils are bones. Actually, oil regenerates itself.
Well, I think the term fossil fuel came from the fact it comes from the ground. Yeah.
But it's not fossil. That's the problem.
It's just a terminology that's been used for a long, long time.
Well, it's long terminology.
But long before the, you know, climate change, you know, scientists were out there bantering on with them. The word fossil fuel was being used. Fossil fuel,
yeah, well,
the term is
relevant. Well, it's the wrong term and they want to change it. Okay. I'll change nothing.
Okay, what do you want to call it? Fuel. What makes you comfortable? Oil, coal, what do you...
Fuel, natural fuel from the ground.
Okay, that makes you comfortable, you say that.
That's yeah. Fine.
Okay, but you're not willing to do anything at all.
No, I'm not. No, not.
But see, but I am, Maureen. I mean, yeah, Maureen, I don't buy into a lot of what's being said, the scaremongering and all that. But still, I'm willing to do my bit when it comes to recycling and putting things in the right bins and, you know.
Well, I do that too. I put my stuff in the right bin, but I'm certainly not doing away with my fire, and I'm certainly not putting panels on my roof, and I'm certainly not bung down to any other crap that they throw at me. And if I go to a hairdresser, when I can afford to go to one, and I hear them coming up with that to me, that's me. I'm off, and I'm off out, and I'm going to say, right, you're going to carry on with that crap. I'm off.
Hmm. Okay, well, hang on a second. Just let me go to John. John, stay there, Maureen. John, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niall. Yeah, climate change, it's been caused by us the last, 150 years. We've destroyed the earth. And now our youngsters, our children are going to suffer, grandkids and everything else.
In what respect, okay. Just let's clarify and define how you believe we've destroyed, in the last 150 years, we've destroyed the earth.
We've burnt the bogs, the people out of the country have been stuffing turf into their fires, burning, they don't care. We have had cars going burning oil and petrol, we burn everything.
That was the Industrial Revolution. John, we wouldn't be where we are today if we didn't burn things. You would have no power in your house. You would have never had a car, or unless it was a steam. Well, it wouldn't even mean steam, because you'd still have to burn something to boil water.
Yeah, I know that.
So John, you wouldn't have everything. Would you like to live in a cave?
Yeah, the Romans, like thousands of years ago, we weren't as dirty as we are now. We're filthy.
Would you prefer to be living in those days where people had nothing, essentially, and didn't have proper heating or installations?
Back in the 60s. There was no wrapped, you know, everything had to be wrapped in boxes and plastic and the whole lot.
They're two separate issues. When we're talking about plastics and boxes, that's a separate issue. That's part of the environment, being environmentally friendly. The climate change, stick to what we're talking about, the climate change. You said we're bad people because we burn everything. You know, we burn diesel, we burn petrol, we burn fuel, we burn gas. Yeah, so John, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's say we all stop using fossil fuels. I know Maureen doesn't like the term, but let's say we stop using fuels tomorrow, right? So what happens then? John's sitting in his house, freezing cold in the winter, nowhere to cook, no electricity.
Electric blankets. We have one nuclear power. I've no problem with nuclear power.
Yeah, but we don't have a nuclear power station yet. In the future, maybe.
We should have.
Yeah, we should. No, I would agree with you. We should have, but we don't. Let's talk about the real world.
I have oil-fired central heating, which I don't use. I have a back boiler and a fireplace, which I don't use. I have a bed, and I have a little electric blanket, and it's myself and the dog curl up at night time in the winter, and we stay there till January. And we don't burn, we don't destroy the earth.
Yeah, but you're using your electric blanket, which is probably 1.5 to 2 kilowatts on your electricity bill.
50 kilowatts. Huh? So we only turn it on for a couple of minutes just to get the bed snuggy.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. You're still using it. So somewhere in the country, they're burning something to produce that electricity for you to have your electric blanket on. Yeah, you can't avoid it, John. Jesus.
Oh, no, we should stop.
Oh, yeah, let's all just go back to living in caves and flinging rocks at each other.
They had fires in caves. So there's too many of us, Niall. I don't know if age has sent you my email.
There isn't too many. That's a myth, by the way, that the world is overpopulated. No, it's not. I was only watching a documentary. The world could sustain up to about 15 billion people, max, at this moment in time, based on the resources we have.
Yeah, but I know there's no problem with the people.
And the population, by the way, now is not growing anymore. It's now going down.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
I'm not a good for anything except ringing people up at night time and upsetting them. Older people don't need to be around. We all need to go and give the earth to the young people. You know that one, she's on, I can't think of her name.
Greta Thunberg, the school skipper.
Huh?
The Swedish school skipper, Greta Thunberg.
Yeah.
She had a load of predictions about 8-10 years ago. Do you remember when she was kind of famous at 16 years of age, and everybody was falling for what she was saying? She made loads of predictions. She put them all up on Twitter and said they were all going to happen in the next 5 years, like the polar ice caps would be melted and all this kind of stuff. And it never happened, and she had to delete all the tweets again. She's a chancer.
No, I think we have destroyed our planet.
Okay,
all the fish are gone. We've only fish fingers left now.
The fish are gone due to bad fishing regulations. It's not only because of climate change. Anyway, sorry, Maureen, you're listening to John. So he cuts back. He doesn't turn on his, he doesn't throw coal in his fire. You know, he doesn't put his lights on. Maybe he lives in the dark or something. I don't know. He's avoiding using fuel.
Batteries.
Yeah, and he's also talking about depopulation.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone over 65, Don.
Well, you'd just call them all, would you, John?
Well, you know what, John?
You'd be first to go.
Will you volunteer to be first then? Are you going along with Schwab and the World Economic Forum, who came up with the depopulation? Because they're talking openly about it. So are you going to be first?
Are you volunteering, John? Are you volunteering to pop when you're 65?
Every morning. I wake up with the hangover and I said, Jesus, why am I still here?
Never heard such rubbish in all my life.
Yeah, I know. John, I have an odd feeling that I don't believe you, by the way. Can I just point out? Have you got a car, John, by the way?
Huh?
Have you got a car?
A bit of a one. I don't use it much now. I live in the city centre. It's out there for emergencies, but I won't.
Well, you're paying tax and insurance on it, so you must be using it.
What?
You're paying tax and insurance on it every year, so I'm assuming you do use it to some extent.
Well,
do you feel guilty? Do you cry your eyes out when you're driving it?
I do. It's terrible. I see the smoke coming out the back, like it's no banger.
Well, then you need to get rid of it. If there's smoke coming out of the back of it, you need to get rid of it because it's a bad car. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Kathleen as well. Kathleen, hi. How are you? Jesus.
Yeah, hello, Nan. I thought you'd forgotten about me there.
So did I. Sorry, I do apologise. You're there for ages.
No, it's okay now.
Yeah. Sorry.
I would be... like yourself, I would recycle plastic and I follow the guidelines, you know, for recycling plastic and all that kind of things. I'd be very conscious of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't actually pay to get food that was, you know, what do they call it? Food that's...
that was kind of climate friendly or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, because you go to a supermarket now, you can go into Lidl's and they do have reasonable price for the carrots because they're not, you know, the kind of free range.
I know. Organic, you're talking about organic foods and all
organic,
that kind of stuff.
Organic, that's the word I want. Yeah. So if I see that they were reasonable, I'd buy them.
I don't know, by the way. I remember watching something about organic foods. It's a bit of a con, I think, the whole organic food thing.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's much of a difference, to be honest with you. AJ's nodding her head here. I think she, AJ, turn on your mic there just 2 seconds. Oh, she's looking at me like, do I have to? Jesus. I'm sorry for the effort, AJ, that you have to go to put on your headphones there. AJ, what are you are you into organic food?
Hang on, sorry. I can't hear you. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, okay.
Are you into your organic foods?
Yeah, I would choose organic over normal, like regular.
There was a great documentary a while ago. It was called Bullshit, is the name of the documentary. And they did different things each week. And one of the weeks they did organic foods.
Yeah.
And they basically said there was hardly any difference. They're also sprayed with some sort of pesticides. A lot of them are. And they're basically just the same thing. They're just made in smaller lots.
No, I don't agree. There's different farming practices. Organic farming is different to...
still farming.
Yeah, but they don't. It's not sprayed with the
same
amount
of stuff.
Yeah,
they don't spray. Yeah. You know, and I mean, it's done differently, but can I just say something to you?
Yeah.
I used to be in the trade, right?
Yeah.
The cows and all the, you know, livestock, that brings a lot of, I believe it's very bad for the climate.
Say that again about the climate?
For the climate, you know, the amount of cows and, you know, meat and all that, you know, putting them through the abattoir and all that. I believe that's very bad for the climate. It wouldn't change me because I love my meat like yourself now.
Yeah, I know. They want us all eating mealworms at some point in the future, don't they?
I think
yeah,
if you're... No. We're lucky because we live in Ireland, so our meat, it's not very damaging to the environment, but it's sort of the intensive farming in the US, and that is...
And Brazil, Argentina.
Yeah, that sort of thing. It's really bad for the environment.
Well, we'll have to scrap the USA, won't we? After what Donald Trump just done on us.
Don't start an aisle off, Kathleen.
Oh, don't get me going, Kathleen.
No. What I'm saying is, we won't be buying it. We won't be purchasing from that. You know what I mean? But
we might if we do a deal. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what he wants, countries to do deals. Anyway, look, I have to go into a break. Sorry, Kathleen, for cutting everybody with a short, John and Maureen. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. And you can give us a call. I'm asking you, we're talking about climate change because the Irish Independent are reporting that hairdressers have been asked to chat to their customers about climate change. And I'm asking, do you do your thing? You know what I mean? Not when it comes to the environment. They're separate things. People keep putting the two of them together. So, you know, recycling and looking after the planet and not throwing your litter on the ground and all that kind of stuff, that's more to do with the environment. And I think we all should take part in that. We all should be part of that because we've got to keep the planet good, you know, for our grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and all that. But we are specifically talking about climate change. And obviously there's a set of scientists who believe that we are responsible for the changing climate. There are also a set of scientists, to be fair, who disagree with that. And they don't believe that. They don't get funded, by the way. If you want to do a thesis or paper tomorrow, you know, in a university and you're a scientist, you will not get funding if you want to do a thesis or paper saying that humans are not responsible for climate change. But you will get funding if you say they are. There is a bit of a narrative going on. So I want to be fair to both sides of the argument by saying, you know, one could be true and the other could. They're both hypotheses, by the way. That's what they are. Theories. Just like the theories many years ago about the ozone layer and all those other theories. And how many times did we hear in the 60s, 70s and 80s the world was going to end? Well, we're being told that again. The difference nowadays is you've got social media. So you can expand on it now. You can make it bigger. And when I listen to people say from, you know, certain green parties in the world, because there's green parties all over the world, so I'm not going to say which ones it is. You know, they're no different to the men, particularly those ones who are going around saying, you know, stop oil and all that. They're no different to the people who stood out in the middle of the street saying the end is nigh. You know what I mean? Back in the 1970s with sandwich boards on them. They're no different. The only difference now is they wear suits at political parties and, you know, and they're online. So the question I want to ask on a serious note is, are you willing to pay? Well, realistically, you will save money by putting solar panels on your roof. Eventually, it's going to cost you a big outlay. Takes a while to get that back again. You will save money eventually if you put a heat pump system in, I imagine. Well, maybe not because electricity is so expensive nowadays anyway. It's going to cost you a lot of money. But are you willing to make that investment? You will get a bit of help from the government. You get grants, depending on where you live and your financial income and et cetera, et cetera. So the question I'm asking you is, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to pay a few quid? Are you willing to pay extra for a flight to America, for example? Because, you know, you're part of burning more fuel. The spookiness is getting weirder. Do you remember at the start of the last break, I said I was going to take a nibble out of my snacks? You get two in a bag. That's the bag. And I get one. And then, just when the next break comes, because I can't obviously eat them during the conversations, the next break came and I went to eat one. And there was still two there. What's going on? Somebody replaced the one I ate. I definitely only had two because there's only two in the little bag. And I only have one bag. Anyway, getting back to what we were talking about before the break, obviously Maureen brought up chemtrails. Now, I know there's an interesting debate going on in America about that at the moment. And RFK Jr. was really talking about today. There's going to be a full investigation into it. And look, maybe Maureen is right. Sometimes conspiracy theories are 6 years, 10 years ahead of everybody else. Maybe something will come out. Or, you know, there'll be papers released that'll prove, oh yeah, they actually were spraying mad stuff in the skies. We don't know. All right. As of the moment, I don't buy it. Maureen does. Everyone's entitled to their view on it. John, by the way, does believe, obviously, that we are responsible for changing the climate. And, you know, he's doing his bit. He's not burning coal. He's not doing all those things. He doesn't bother driving too much. He walks most places now to avoid burning fuels. Yeah. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi. How are you?
I'm well this evening, Niall. Good evening.
Good. Would you like to live in a cage with a cave with John? John wants to live in a cave again.
No, if John wants to live in a cage...
Cave.
Yeah, come on. Sorry, a cave. Well, a cage in a
and
cave.
And he also believes that we're overpopulated and we should be culling the population over 65.
Yeah, you could take the entire population of the Earth and you could put them into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
That's a simple mathematical fact.
I remember seeing a picture of the entire population of the Earth actually on a map. Yeah. It's quite small in the scheme of things. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, part of the problem, Niall, is that most people don't equate themselves with the science. They listen to the rhetoric and the garbage, and they take it on board. Now, I am all for recycling. I'm all for reducing waste. I'm full in on all of that. I really am. You know, if I'm in a supermarket, I don't see why I should have to get rid of all the plastic packaging. I put it in their bin. Let them get rid of it. I take home my produce. Although I don't buy a lot of produce from supermarkets. I try to go to my greengrocer, my butcher, and so on. But this thing about climate change, and we've had this conversation before, Niall. Mm-hmm. The CO2, the carbon dioxide content of the Earth's atmosphere at the moment is 0.04%. That's 4 parts in 10,000. In times past, it was as high as zero, and that's only a reckoning that it was as high as 0.8%. It could have been higher. And at that time, biodiversity was far richer on the planet. Mm-hmm. The simple fact is that the atmosphere is composed of several gases, and carbon dioxide is an essential component of the Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, of course it
is. Without carbon dioxide, plants die.
I mean, the whole idea of net zero is a bit of a nonsense.
It's nonsense.
I know, because if it was net zero, we'd all die.
It's total garbage. It's total...
When I say if you took it literally and there was no carbon emissions at all, we'd all die.
Yeah. When it comes to what am I prepared to do, I mean, I don't want to deliberately just push CO2 into the atmosphere because I believe that, you know, the atmosphere could easily sustain 0.08%. But what do I do? At the moment, I drive a company vehicle, but when I retire, I will be buying another diesel vehicle.
But they won't be available. Here's the thing. If governments, well, like the Irish government and the British government, they'll be banned by 2035, 2030 in the UK.
I'll be long retired before 2035, but I'll buy a second-hand one if necessary. They're far more efficient than any electric vehicle. And when it comes to it...
Well, I don't know about efficient. I don't know if they're more efficient. That's not true.
No, you've got to make a distinction between efficiency and effectiveness.
No, I'm talking about the cost factor. The financial cost of running an electric car is clearly cheaper than a diesel or petrol car.
No. You see, you have to make a distinction between cost and efficiency. I'm not talking about cost efficiency. I'm talking about actual power efficiency, mechanical efficiency, and what you get, how far you get on the actual power input to an engine from the fuel source. Now, a diesel engine is far more efficient than any other engine because if you maintain that engine properly, it will sustain itself for 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. What would you get from an electric vehicle? You get a battery pack that in 5 years is running at maybe, if you're lucky, 60% efficiency.
Well, I don't, depending on the car. It depends on the car, yeah.
It will depend on the car, but you see, the battery... Now, I mean, the technology may change. We may end up with far better technology. I'm not saying that
if the
technology is to change, I might be convinced. Personally, I don't like electric vehicles, but if the technology was to get better, I might be convinced.
Okay, if they had a range of 1,000 miles, not 500, which would be the maximum at the moment, or 450, if they had a range of 1,000 miles and you could charge it in 30 seconds... Would you be interested?
If we could charge it in 30 seconds with that kind of range, yes, of course, I'd be interested.
But that's on the way, isn't it? I mean, some Korean company has already patented the idea of using atomic cells and charging it with laser light. They reckon they'll have it in 5 years.
Yeah, and Toyota have pretty much...
Hydrogen cars, yeah.
They're going over for hydrogen. Now, I mean, I mentioned...
But the problem with the hydrogen is the engines are expensive.
Yeah, at the moment.
Yeah.
As I mentioned in a text there a while ago, as you know, Niall, I travel the country. And the number of times I pass wind farms where millions upon millions have been spent erecting and building wind farms, you have these turbines that are supposed to be producing electricity. And the number of times you pass them and they're locked out, the blades aren't turning, not because there's no wind, but because they lock them out. They don't want them turning. because the grid can't sustain the energy they're producing.
No, you can't store it. Yeah, you can't store the energy. Yeah.
You can't store it. And you'd simply overload the grid if you put all that electricity into the grid. It's a complete, in my opinion, we should be going nuclear. That's my opinion. It won't change.
I don't disagree with you. France is practically nuclear. Yeah, I don't disagree with you.
There was a time I would have said, no, nuclear is not good. That was a that was a lifetime ago when things were, they were entirely different. I think people need to educate themselves on what's really happening, on the truth. As I said, 0.04%, four parts in 10,000.
Okay, we got that earlier on. Okay, so basically, you're kind to the planet, you go along with all the environmental stuff, but when it comes to climate change, unless you're completely convinced, you're not going to go out of your way to be nasty either, but you're not willing to change your lifestyle for it. Okay, so we'll stay there for a second. Let me go to Alan as well if I can before the break. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Nine.
Hey, how you doing, Alan? There you go. You heard what Martin said. Are you willing to spend money to save the planet?
Well, I have a garden money. I'm on the lowest wage. I'm on the disability. And I'd love to be able to get the things for your roof.
Oh, solar panels, yeah.
Solar panels, because I know that my friend has them down in Kerry and he saves a lot of money heating more, and they save a lot of money on electricity.
They do, but obviously there's an initial investment that you have to spend, yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have that money. And I think the whole climate activism is the new religion. And it has no evidence that's concrete. It's all theory. And a lot of people...
They would claim they do have evidence, but yeah, it's based on hypotheses, yeah.
Yeah, they use this logic that tells you that they have to be telling you the truth because they're official and they're governmental and they wouldn't lead you astray. And they're telling you the truth, the climate is changing. Now, I look at the weather now, right, the weather that's happening. As you know now, we hadn't got a summer last year.
Mm.
And it was horrible last year. It was just clouds and overcast for 4 months of the summer months.
That's right. Yeah.
Now we're getting an interruption to the normal play, and we're getting sunlight and warm sunshine, and it's a nice change. And the climate activists will say now, as you know now, they always come up and say, oh, this is a sign of climate change. They have every negative and positive against it. They use all these arbitrary measures.
There's nothing unusual about the weather we're having at the moment. If you go back, the last few decades, there has been many times in April that we've had really nice weather.
I haven't seen the sun in a year.
Ireland officially is the second worst country in the world when it comes to sunlight, exposure to sunlight.
Yeah. So there. No, I'm not a big fan of sun worshipping. I don't worship the sun.
I don't need it to why, but it's nice to see it in the sky every now and again, isn't it?
It's nice, and it's a lovely energy. But the whole climate activism was remember that famous documentary by Al Gore?
Oh, yeah,
Inconvenient.
Ah, so the world was going to end in the mid-90s there somewhere, yeah.
Now, Niall, as you said there earlier, these climate activists start off with this premise that the Earth is a living being. They turn the Earth into a kind of a god, right?
Mm.
And then they say we're abusing it and we need to stop doing it. And then you look at all the other countries on the planet, Niall, that are poverty stricken. And they are not following guidelines of the...
No, because they couldn't afford to. Yeah. They're just trying to live day to day, yeah.
What we do in little old Ireland is irrelevant.
Well, the argument is we're still doing something.
Niall, look at China.
Oh,
India.
I know. They're still building our coal plants in China. I'm well aware of that. Yeah.
And they are pumping the air with monoxide and dioxide, right? And all we hear from air companies is what we do with our little fire in the countryside with peace. We have an interfering government that's robbing us of our money to sustain a project that has no literal way of working out. There's no way this is going to work out.
Okay, sorry, I've only got 1 minute. Martin, go ahead. You want to say something there, Martin? Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Alan, very quickly now. But when it comes to it, the weather and the atmosphere, it's a dynamic system. okay? It's always prone to change. It will
it's always changing.
Climate change is real. The climate changes. There's no denying that. You've only got to look into history. The climate changes. When it comes to China, yeah, as you've said, they're still, I think it's about one a week, they're opening coal-fired power stations, yet they're exporting solar panels, which people think, oh, solar panels, I'll put them on my roof, that's it for good. Not solar panels, the effective working life of them is, you know, if you get really expensive, really high-quality ones, you might get 20 years out of them.
And it'll, and by the way, it'll take many years to pay back what it'll cost you to put them up in the first place.
Absolutely. The other thing is, all these, the blades off the turbines, if you look at how they're disposed of, what do they do with them?
Bury them.
Bury them in landfill. Because there's no getting rid of them.
I did. I've seen that photograph of them all being buried in a landfill. And I believe they, some of them only last 15 years. Anyway, Martin Allen, listen, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on the air to talk to us. I've run out of time. Listener says, Niall, I'm a sales rep and drive a diesel van. I just can't see companies putting all their staff who drive for a living in electric vehicles by 2035. Unless we have hundreds of charging points. That comes in from Alan. You're right. But it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Remember, everybody would have to have at least an 8 kilowatt or 7 kilowatt charging point at their house, at their workplace. It's never going to happen. Not with the current EV model. We are never going to replace every car in this country with electric vehicles.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.